prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The Truth Revolution.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I'm Pastor Dave, that's Pastor Jeff, and we are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
Hey, I'm glad you're joining us today. We're going to be talking about, well, a topic that we talked about the last 2 weeks, about Jesus being exclusive. And man, that is just a disgusting sounding thing for a lot of people. It's intolerant is what it is.
Right. They would say that we are very inclusive of, well,
of ourselves.
Of ourselves, right. That's what I'm trying to say.
And exclusive. We're not tolerant. And so right. What we're going to do is we're going to take the show today and we're going to actually explore the idea of whether or not we're being intolerant. Because it's an important question, I think. And so we're going to come at it from our perspective, obviously.
Right.
Whether or not we're being intolerant. And I think the answer is, in some respects, yeah, we are perhaps being intolerant because we're saying we believe what is true and we believe what is right. And people who don't believe this about Jesus are wrong.
Right.
Right. And actually, it's funny because you even feel a little uncomfortable saying that.
Right. Yeah.
Because you know people aren't going to like that. Maybe even if you heard me say that just now and you didn't like it, you're just like, why would he even say that?
Right. And the thing is that in all other walks of our life, we may touch on this later, in every other thing that we do in our lives and in our jobs and such, it's okay to be intolerant because we have a job to do. Okay. But in our religion, don't be intolerant because you're not including everybody. Oh, and yeah. I don't want to hear that I'm going to hell.
And now someone's thinking right now, Dave, what are you talking about? It's not okay for me to be intolerant at my job. They even give me tolerance training to accept different people.
Right.
That's not what you're talking about.
Exactly.
We're going to come to what you're talking about in just a little bit to show you that your job is very intolerant. I think this is true, but it's probably true in some respects that believing in one religion can cause people to be intolerant, even violent. I'll go as far and we'll just agree with that. Like there are religions that people have said, look, this is the only way. Any way other than this is wrong. And so we become violent. You know, Christians have done that in the past. Well, people who claim to be Christians, at least, right. They're certainly not following what Jesus said, which is really disturbing to me that anyone would do violence in the name of Jesus. The guy who said, love your enemy. I don't understand how anyone could do that.
No, that's a mind-blown situation right there.
But yeah, it really is. But there's also people who do violence in the name of Islam. As we talked about in our show on Islam, it actually promotes that. You have parts of the Book of Islam that teach peace, but you have later on teaching the violence, and that supersedes, overwrites the other parts. You got to go to listen to our show about Islam about that. But we're gonna listen to things like from the Dalai Lama today.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna be going over a book from Timothy Keller, a book called The Reason for God. Now he does an amazing thing in here. He talks about tolerance, and we've been actually reading The Reason for God at our church here.
One of the books, yes.
One of the books. The other book is.
More than a Carpenter, yeah.
By Josh McDowell.
That's the one I'm in the middle of reading right now.
Oh, you're reading that one. How's it going?
It's going well. I mean, I haven't gotten that far into it, but
yeah,
I just got it.
I'm reading the Tim Keller book right now, and man, it is just amazing. He's just a genius.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you want those two books, it'd be great to check them out, More Than a Carpenter or The Reason for God. Anyway, Tim Keller in The Reason for God gives three approaches to handling religion, because religion is exclusive. And for some immoral people, religion makes good excuses to hate people because they're all just wrong and stupid and I don't like their culture.
Right.
Right? We know this. Like some people are just intolerant, they're just angry people and they use religion as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do we do about that? Though the fact that religion causes violence. What do we do about that? Let's think about it. And Tim Keller gives three options you want to get rid of religion? Here, there's three ways to do it, really. And the first one he gives is this.
The first one is that to outlaw religion. You know, he says there have been several massive efforts to do this in the 20th century. Soviet Russia, Communist China, Nazi Germany were all determined to tightly control religion's practice in an effort to stop it from dividing society or eroding the power of the state. Now, the result, however, was not more peace and harmony, but more oppression.
And so, this is a pretty massive thing, right? He gives three different ways to get rid of religion. If you Because religions themselves claim to be exclusive. This is important. So you can't just say, well, religions just shouldn't be exclusive. I mean, the religions themselves claim to be exclusive.
Right.
And so, I mean, if you want to get rid of the intolerance, you've got to outlaw it. That's one option. But by outlawing religion, you have never actually gotten rid of the violence.
Right.
This is actually really important for people to understand. You never have just one idea. You always have an idea that you're opposing with another idea. Okay, if my idea is that I want to get rid of religion, I'm actually not just creating a void. I'm doing something to get rid of it.
Right, you're pushing against.
Yeah, and so what am I doing to get rid of it? Well, in this case, I'm bringing up a government that's powerful enough to get rid of religion, mm-hmm. which was the communism in a lot of countries. And whenever in world history, whenever a government has outlawed religion, it has always caused more violence and war than religion's caused.
Right.
So it's done the opposite effect. In addition, outlawing religion doesn't even make the religion go away.
Right. They'll just go underground.
They go underground. Mm-hmm. And a lot of places they get stronger. In China and elsewhere, it actually got stronger when they outlawed the religion.
Right.
It just got underground. So that doesn't work. It doesn't work to make religion illegal. And I know a lot of people who are progressive leaning, who just are, maybe they think they're forward thinking. They think, I can't wait till the day comes when religion will be gone. Religion's increasing in the world.
Right.
In the United States, they have the nuns, the people who don't identify, then religion mm-hmm. is increasing. But in almost the rest of the world, religion is increasing. The number of participants and the percentages of participants who are dedicated to religion are increasing elsewhere.
Right. And plus, you're asking people, believe in nothing. You know what I mean? Believe in nothing. And that is so hard to even fathom.
Well, to be fair, can I challenge you a little bit on that?
Challenge me.
Because to be fair, I don't think everyone's saying believe in nothing. They're trying to replace it with believe in science,
right,
or believe in rationality.
Okay, I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
I will. Okay.
But they are creating a void that we would say exists in the human soul for a vast majority of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that billions upon billions upon billions of people, I mean, you're looking at the lowest place in America, you're looking at like 90% of people can consider themselves religious,
right,
or believe in a God. I mean, that's an incredible statistic. Could you imagine if a president running for office got 90% of the vote?
Right.
People would go insane.
Yeah.
This can't happen. Right. But, but so obviously, I'm not providing a scientific bull here, but I think it's pretty clear most people have sensed some sort of desire for that spiritual connection. Okay, mm-hmm. So you can't get rid of it with a law.
Right.
But another approach.
Yeah, another approach to fix the problem of religious intolerance is to condemn religion or to suggest that religions are really equal.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
He says, I meet a lot of people who say it just matters what you believe.
Now, I say that, yeah, right? Like, mm-hmm. I do meet a lot of people. Do you meet a lot of people who say, well, it just matters what you believe?
Well, I have met people like that. And it's crazy because that means that my truth is as equal as your truth, even though our truths may be totally opposite.
Right. I mean, I met this lady a while ago, and she was like, look, the Bible's good as long as you let people take it however they want to take it. Now, really, my response to that, my first one would be, well, what if someone wants to use the Bible to do violence? Is mm-hmm. that okay with her? She said, well, no, not to do violence. Well, you said.
Right, and it's happened in the past.
It's okay to let that people can take the Bible however they want to take it. But, of course, she's not being consistent, right? Mm-hmm. You can't say, I'm tolerant to everyone, as long as they don't want to do violence. Well, you're not being tolerant to everyone in that case.
You're being tolerant to a select few, so you're being pretty tolerant.
No, well, not really. You're saying, I believe there's a right and a wrong.
Right. It's and, like totally the definition of intolerant.
Yeah. You're saying, look, it is wrong to be violent. Everything else is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying there's a right and a wrong. And as long as you're right, I'm fine with you. If you're wrong, I'm not fine with you. So you can't say, well, I'm totally tolerant of everything except these things.
I'm totally tolerant to the people that agree with me.
Right. You can't do that.
Right.
Right. Because you're essentially intolerant then. And so when someone says, no, look, we need to condemn religion or act like all religions are just equal, what you're doing is saying that you know more than the people who believe in the religions because you have... Actually, you know what we're going to do? Mm-hmm. I'm going to play a quote by the Dalai Lama and then I'll explain this. Okay, here's the Dalai Lama. This is Tenzin Gyatso.
Like a medicine, you see, according different illness, you need different medicine. So you cannot say this medicine, no matter according what illness, this medicine is best. This medicine is only Garuda.
The only medicine.
Only medicine. You cannot say that. To some people, the God, concept of God, is so powerful in order to be more compassionate person. So to some people, that faith, that religion is much more suitable. And for that person, that religion is best because most effective.
Wow. So you want to sum up what he's saying?
Yeah, basically what he's saying is that there are different illnesses mm-hmm. out there, and there are different medicines to take care of those illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's see. Let's use religion as that medicine.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an illness in your life, like say you need to be more happy or you need to be more loving to others, you will choose the religion that pushes you in that direction. And that's okay because that's the religion or the medicine that you need.
Exactly. So I'll use this analogy. Maybe different religions are better for people. Like if we want a religion that does something specific, let's say we want one that helps us feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need Buddhism. If we want one that helps us to be practical about helping orphans, we need Christianity.
Right.
It's a good, if you want a good reason to visit Mecca, join Islam.
There you go.
Right. Okay. But what if those aren't the biggest problems facing humanity?
Right. And they aren't.
And they are. What if the biggest problem facing humanity is actually sin and we have offended God who will judge us?
That's a pretty big problem.
If that's the actual problem that's common for all humanity, one medicine is going to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
What if we are really actually going to hell? What is the medicine for that? Well, it's Jesus. Like that's the only medicine that works. That's what Christianity Amen. Says. Islam says there's a different medicine for that. It says it's good works. You can't say, well, yeah, I think you're all true, right? Like Islam's true that you have to have good works. Because actually Christianity says if you rely on your works, you are under a curse.
Mm-hmm.
In Islam, would say that if you worship Jesus as God, that would be like idolatry. You're not supposed to worship a prophet, which they think he was. So you can't take two opposing religions. Let's go ahead and throw in Buddhism, who in some strains, there isn't even a theistic God. So there is no God. God is Jesus, and you can't worship God.
Right.
Those are the three different religions you got there. And say, well, why don't you just do them all?
And that's totally touching on what we've been going over the last couple of weeks. Is about, you know, you cannot compare each of these religions together and come out with an equal outcome.
You can't do it. Now, Dave, this sounds like we're being awful intolerant,
mm-hmm.
but let's bring it back to your thing that you said at the very beginning about your job is intolerant.
Right.
Okay, because let's just assume for a second we're right about Jesus being the only way to be freed from sin. Okay, he's the only way. Let's say that you were on top of a skyscraper.
Mm-hmm.
And someone walked in and said, hey, so can I look out your window on the 40th floor? I'm the architect who built this. And you're like, really? Come on in.
Right.
And he was telling you, and he's like, you know what? According to the math, I was supposed to use 50-ton columns, but for aesthetic reasons, I only use 10-ton columns.
Oh, that's great.
No, you'd be like, wait, wait, what did you say?
Did I just feel the building sway?
Like, the building is not safe. He's like, hey, that may be your truth, but it's not my truth.
Right.
What would you say to him?
First of all, I would leave the building and call him on the way out. Like, dude, what are you doing?
Right? We would all be very intolerant towards him.
Right.
We would all be very intolerant towards an airline pilot who doesn't know how to fly a plane.
Right.
Because we believe that when real lives are on the line, truth matters.
Mm-hmm.
What we're suggesting is that real lives are on the matter. This isn't just what do you want to feel like.
Right. 2 + 2 equals nothing but 4.
All right. We're going to come right back after the break. We'll be right back. And be intolerant.
True.
truth shots from truthrevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
To know if a book belongs in the Bible, we ask one question. Is it from God?
But how do we know if it's from God or not?
There are simple and straightforward questions to help with this.
First, we ask whether or not something was written by a true prophet.
If it was, then it could be the words of God. Simple.
We also want to know if it gives us truth about God.
If there are obvious errors in the writings about who Jesus or the Trinity is, that would be a reason to axe it.
Right. We can't count something as scripture if it contradicts something we already know is true.
Another test has to do with whether or not the words carry the power of God when read.
True scripture can weigh on people's souls and minds in a way that other writings cannot.
One of the final tests has to do with the people of God. Did they accept it?
The scriptures we use have been accepted by the people of God since the moment they were written. It wasn't a vote that put these words in charge. This has been a quick overview. For more, check out truthrevolution.tv.
Truthrevolution.tv.
Hey, Pastor Jeff.
What's up, Pastor Dave?
I saw a guy come into Revolution Church the other day wearing an old ripped up Nirvana t-shirt.
Like the band?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I gave him a fist bump and some coffee.
Yeah, all right. At Revolution Church, we aren't worried what you look like, but we do want you and your family to learn about Jesus along with us.
Check us out online at revo.church.
That's revo.church. 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 5 p.m., revo.church. You know, Revolution isn't the only good church in town. We also love Emmanuel Foursquare.
No, Revolution is a good church, and you're a good pastor, Jeff.
Thanks.
I'm Lauren Holtberg, and I'm pastor of Emmanuel Foursquare Church here in Salina.
And where are you located at?
Next to the New Dillons on Cloud Street. And you know, the mission statement from our church is pretty simple. It's to live for Jesus and serve our community through love. So if that's what you'd like to do, we'd like to invite you to join us some weekend, Saturday night, free meal at 6, service at 7, and then Sunday morning, 9 or 11. God bless you.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, "This show changed my life. I love Jesus."
Then consider a donation.
You can visit truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give, give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going. Some Christians treat the love of God like something to be reflected, like a mirror. It hits them and immediately goes out, but the problem is they don't feel it. Some treat God's love like a coat. They feel the warmth, but it never goes anywhere else. I like to think of it like a battery. We soak up the love of Jesus, but that energy and love is meant to be used for something else. We receive the love from God, and it translates into taking care of orphans and widows and foster kids. Be a battery for Jesus.
Truth Revolution.
We're back and very intolerant.
Very intolerant. You are not in a skyscraper right now. Why not?
Because it's built wrong.
It was built wrong. Right. That's very intolerant of you to say that, Dave.
It is. But you know what? I left him in the building by himself and he can have it.
If any of our listeners right now would actually be totally cool with an architect building a skyscraper according to his own personal truth and not mathematical truths, right. I want you to message me and let me know. Because I don't think you're out there. I don't think those people exist who actually think, hey, dude, all truth is just whatever you want to believe.
Right.
But
you think about that. You know, in town we have several factories.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if somebody were to just go off the books or off the paper and say, I think I'm going to start building this way, they wouldn't be long for a job, right?
No.
Would you say that their boss is intolerant?
Well, yeah. I would say their boss is intolerant.
Is that a bad thing?
No, that's a good thing.
Right.
Their boss needs to be intolerant towards error and incompetence. Mm-hmm. If he's not, he's not doing his job, just like they weren't doing their jobs. Right. Look, some people say that religion is different. Religion is different than mathematical truths, like we're trying to say here. And sometimes they'll give the story of an elephant. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. When you have like, what is it? 5 blind men or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they're all feeling around. Well, this one feels like a tree trunk.
They feel the foot of the elephant.
And this feels like a wall because they feel the side of the elephant. Or this feels like a snake because they're looking at the trunk or they're feeling the trunk.
Uh-huh.
You know?
And then other ones like, oh, but no, it's a string. And they're feeling the tail.
Right.
Right. And so they all are giving a truth, but they are only seeing part of the truth. Mm-hmm. And so when we point this out to some people that we're being intolerant, they're really, religions can't all come together. You can't force them to throw away their exclusive claims.
Right.
So people say, no, all religion is really pointing to the same truth. The problem with that is, to be able to claim that, you have to know the whole truth.
Right.
To be able to claim that the five blind men are all touching an elephant, you actually have to not be blind and see the whole elephant.
Right. And therefore elevating yourself in a higher above everybody else, you know what they don't know.
So by virtue, whenever you have someone saying, no, all religions can come together, that person is saying, I actually see on a plane that's higher than all these other religions put together.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the religions themselves say that they're incompatible, I know better than them. And this, so when you have the person who's being super tolerant,
mm-hmm.
what they're saying is, I am completely intolerant to their viewpoints,
right?
Because I know better than them. It's actually funny.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. What? Indubitably. Definitely. All the time.
Right.
Whenever you have someone casting out the intolerant line, they have to be one of the most intolerant people, right, to be able to use that. For, you know, people will say, well, America, you know, we, and other religions should be more tolerant towards each other. And this is in the Tim Keller book too. It's early on. Whenever Americans say, you know, we should not be so ethnocentric, like not, we shouldn't just say America's the greatest. Nobody should say that their country is the greatest. Like, what's funny is people from all around the world think that their place and their religion are the greatest. And when we tell them that they shouldn't think that, what we're saying is, well, our culture, our American culture that's really individualistic, we've produced this value of not being ethnocentric, right, and we're trying to apply it to them, even though they want to be ethnocentric. And we're saying, no, our view of not being ethnocentric is better than your view of being ethnocentric.
And you just became intolerant.
And you just became intolerant and ethnocentric. You can't do that. So our whole point is here that there isn't objective truth, right?
Right.
There really is a truth out there, and someone has to have seen it. And so whenever you say that there's not an objective truth, or that all religions don't really, they should all come together. Look, if there really is a God who exists, then we need to ask, who is this God?
Amen.
And what is God like? And what does God want from us? And not just, here's what I think everyone's fine, don't worry about it. If there really is a God, doesn't it make sense to say, or does it make sense to say, hey, everyone, just believe what you want, whatever makes you feel
Absolutely
good?
Absolutely not.
No, it doesn't. Back to the top. Does religion cause people to be hateful and violent? Well, we've seen that no solution to get rid of religion works. You can't outlaw it, and you can't just make it intolerant. So here's what's interesting. If we go absolutely hardcore and do everything Jesus wants us to do, that's where people think, oh, this guy's a freak. He's going to kill people because we're too religious.
Because that's what Jesus taught.
Yeah, right? I mean, but look, because if we were actually hardcore and did everything Jesus wanted us to do instead of just being super tolerant, if we became super hardcore, Matthew 5, Jesus tells us this.
It says, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
Do good to everyone, mm-hmm. even non-believers, he says. Even those you disagree with.
Right.
Even those who hurt you, Jesus says we should love.
Right. So in being a religious freak like that, you would actually become non-violent?
I think the problem isn't being too religious.
Mm-hmm.
The problem isn't following Jesus enough.
Amen.
Too many people use God as an excuse to bring up the hate that exists inside them, but that's not what God wants from any of us.
Right.
Matthew 22.
Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Hmm. I love how when someone asked him what is most important, he told us what's most important. Told us what's most important, which is to love God.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus couldn't even help himself. He had to throw the second one in there. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Right? Look, your neighbor the people around you, you love them in the same way you would treat yourself. You feed yourself. You clothe yourself. You give yourself a home. Mm-hmm. You take yourself to the doctor when you're sick.
Right.
You don't want people to talk bad about you. You want people to lift you up and help you and speak kind about you. Right? These, we're supposed to treat our neighbor in the same way we want to treat ourselves.
Right. There you go, talking the golden rule again.
That's right.
Right.
Now, we're going to jump out and do a Bible contradiction, and we're going to come right back.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Who will bear whose burden?
Okay.
Okay. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So we should carry one another's burdens.
Yeah.
However, three verses later, Galatians 6:5, for each one should carry their own load. So we should carry our own load? So what is that? That's like, was he, I don't know.
All right, we're going to use cracked.
That's weird.
As always.
Mm-hmm.
D for dialect.
Right.
Or we might even go to early meaning. E for early meaning in manuscript. All right, the early meaning of these words, we're going to go back to the Greek language. The Greek is what this part of the Bible is written in. And the Greek word for burdens is the Greek word baros. It literally means an abundance or a load. It implies some sort of burdensome weight that you can't lift by yourself, like some massive boulder.
Right.
Okay. That. And when Galatians 6:5 says each one should carry their own load, it's saying their own baros, their own unliftable burden. But earlier in 6:2, when it says carry each other's burdens, that's the Greek word fortion. Okay. That's a different word. And it literally means invoice or task. It's a job that should be handled by someone themselves. It has nothing to do with whether or not someone has handled it themselves. You know, like taking a drink of water when you're thirsty.
Right.
Right. Each one should carry their own load. You know, right. Each one should carry their own task. If I'm thirsty, and my arms aren't broken, like I can pick up a cup and take a drink. I'm not supposed to call someone and say, help me, take a drink of water.
Can you spoon feed me this water, please?
Right. And so what the Bible is actually getting at here is this principle that we all are responsible to do what God has made us capable to do.
Right.
We should not be lazy, but take care of ourselves in a manner that's appropriate. However, there are times when you will face things that are too heavy for you to deal with on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, we as a Christian family are supposed to help each other and bear each other's burdens.
Amen.
When there's a mountain falling on Dave, it is my responsibility to help pick that up.
Right on.
All right.
You know, and that goes right along with what Jesus says, to love one another. Really, it's all common sense.
It is. It just, I wouldn't say it's common sense.
Okay, yeah, because there's not a lot of it going around, right?
No, because until Jesus said this, it wasn't very common at all.
It's good sense.
It's how's yeah. That? See, the thing is, though, it's interesting because people think it's common sense now. Even the atheists will say it's common sense now because they've heard this stuff. Christianity has taught this for 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. And you do see principles like this from other religions and little philosophers around. But this was not widespread thinking. I mean, hate your enemies was widespread thinking.
Yes.
That's common thinking. Do wrong to people who wrong you is common thinking. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is actually, we've finished our Bible contradiction, but we're back into the religion thing, right? This is, we're being intolerant again because we're saying that Jesus has taught us a better way. It's the right way and there's a wrong way. And too often we've done things the wrong way.
Amen.
You know, here's another Jesus quote, Luke 6:32. Says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be paid in full.
Mm-hmm.
But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back.
Wow.
That's the way of Jesus. Are we intolerant when we say you should follow Jesus? He's the only way to God?
Absolutely.
But we're intolerant because we believe it really is the only way back to God. Jesus says he's the only way. And so we're going to follow him as though he's the only way.
Amen.
All right, Dave, where should they go?
They need to go to truthrevolution.tv and revo.church and come on out to Revolution Church every Sunday at 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 5 p.m.
Man, we'd love to have you come out.
Amen.
And as always, we don't care what you wear. We just want to give you God's mercy because we believe God forgives in a way bigger way than you can ever manage. We know you've done things you're ashamed of, but we still love you. And we know God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
So we want you to come out. truthrevolution.tv.